Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planeswalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my didn't open a Garrock or Odo, but opened plenty of other stuff, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you doing tonight, sir?
First of all, it's Oko.
Oko, Odo. Listen, I love Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Leave me alone.
I am doing good tonight. So many shiny, so many pretties. My goodness.
They really are. It's an embarrassment of riches. In fact, you know, and we've got a full show again. We're going to talk a ton of stuff. So why don't we just go ahead and get into
Untap a Keeping Draw.
All right, as we're wont to do whenever, well, I'm wont to do because it's my podcast and Aramis do, but, you know, untapping tonight. First thing I'm untapping is my Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. I've got three left and I salute. God, it's still good. It smells good.
I'm just going to keep looking at the pretties while you're doing that.
They are pretty. So first thing, untap upkeep. For, you know, we like to talk about the haps and what's coming up. So what we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to definitely be talking about the pre-release we did at Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill, New York. So if you're not local, just imagine it's your own game store because it's very similar, although Kerwin's is far cooler than any of yours. yes, we also, we're going to go through that. We're going to talk a little bit about how we did, what we saw, what we got, what we cracked, you know, just give you a kind of a primer of that. But then we're going to go into the metagame shift a little bit. There were some events. They weren't broadcast because, believe me, I was checking on Twitch this weekend. But there were a few new standard events, and so some decks are coming out. Obviously, the big one is going to be the SCG this weekend, as it usually is. Then we're going to go into combat where we're going to talk about collector's boosters after the first week. We want to kind of go through that again, see if it's still worth it. And then finally, in main two, we do have an email from one of our listeners, and we're also going to talk about Arena and the Win Every Card event that starts this weekend. I think it starts Sunday? Well, we'll look that up because we're professional broadcasters. But before we get all into that, like Aramis, man, I got to share with you something, man. Magic Game Night is a beautiful product. I now have three cardboard crackheads. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
You pusher.
Oh, it's great. My wife's into it. My two boys are into it. In fact, the oldest was home this weekend from college, and he was like, oh, now I'm going to have to spend money on cards again. Why am I doing this? But we ended up playing Magic literally all weekend. I actually threw a couple of casual decks together for them because they were getting bored with the, you know, game night. But that's a pretty cool product to introduce people in. It's just mono-colored, and I know there's going to be a new one coming out, and right. So I'm going to hop on it. But, yeah, I was just really excited all weekend long. I'm like, all right, let's see. Thursday night, my wife said she wanted to play, so we did with my son, my youngest. And then Friday night, I went and did the pre-release. And Saturday, I played with the two older boys and my wife. And then Sunday, I played with the two older boys and my wife. I'm like, this is a lot of magic. This is a little almost too much. By Sunday, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go read a book or, you know.
No such thing. See, the best way to do that is you're like, okay, we're going to switch to Commander, and I'm going to play Atraxa. And then they quit.
Yeah, I don't want them to run screaming. Yes. So, but that was my week. Anything going on with you back there before we get into Maine? Or
well, like you said, Friday we went to the pre-release, had a fantastic time. This is definitely one of the most enjoyable pre-releases I've ever been to, and that's saying something because War of the Spark was nuts.
Yeah,
I've almost gotten my hooks into my wife into playing. I'm close. She says she's intrigued, and that means a lot.
Did you drop the Will's wife is playing?
Yeah, she didn't appreciate that.
What do you mean? It's sort of like I'm kind of respond to peer pressure way.
She thinks I'm guilting her into it. Like, no, I'm not guilting you. It's just it's like you said you were kind of interested before. There's a lot of fairies in the set, and that's why that's her favorite like fantasy creature is fairies. I even got her like a nice fairy statue for her office that has like a multicolored LED light. Looks really cool. And, you know, I showed her some of the cards and everything. She's like, I'm intrigued. So I think if I push a little harder, I think she's almost there. I can get her to have that first little snort, and then she's mine.
Oh, yeah. Then she's all yours. So, yeah, I think my wife might even want to play even though the kids aren't here. I don't know yet. We're gonna figure that out. She wants to put her own deck together, though. She's like, I want to build one. I'm like, go ahead.
I got my brother-in-law some cards the last time he was here. He's already saying he's going to build a ridiculous deck to crush me when he comes back in October. We'll see about that. my son, who's five, likes to, you know, he doesn't know anything. He can't read.
He likes to throw them against the wall.
Well, he's very careful with them. I tell him you got to be careful with these cards, and he'll put them out one by one, lay them out on the table. He's like, "Oh, look, I got a match." So
I was always saying that because I think my youngest wanted to throw his against the wall at least twice. So, and he's 13.
Yeah, it's not an easy game, and there's definitely plenty of moments where you want to bash your head against a wall. But I think we will both have Magic playing families by the end of the year.
That would be good, and then we could have like a big event.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hey, we could cube draft.
We could cube. You know, you're going too far, man. I'm just going to be happy if I can get them to play Brawl and then work into Commander. Like the goal is going to be this. First, they do this game night. Then I get them into building their own little decks, casual wise. Doesn't have to be standard. Then I get them building kind of a standard deck. Mm-hmm. Then I get them building a Brawl deck.
Then you skip straight to
Then I go to Commander. And we skip Modern and Legacy because none of us, you know, I like having a house. So, but with that, I think we should go right into
because
we have a ton to talk about. As we kind of led off tonight during our untapped phase, we went to Kerwin's Friday night for pre-release. It did not disappoint. It was incredible. We each got a box. And I got mine through an interesting way, which we won't share. And then, you know, you got yours and you got your box. And so we opened our boxes and each came with a collector pack, which we're going to talk about in combat because we both got our hands on a collector booster. So we can kind of speak to this a little bit better. We kind of can see because, again, I think Wizards tried to do the whole wordy thing.
Yeah.
And when they were releasing this, I think they wanted it to be kind of clear as mud. So, and it was. So I had no idea what I was going to get in this damn thing. So and that was literally the first thing I opened because I'm not stupid. I'm like, I got to see this. So I opened my collector booster and it was cool. And there was really cool cards in it. And it was really, really worthwhile for me to open it. And I was not disappointed at all in it. And then I opened that and, you know, I got the dragon there. Opportunistic dragon was my big, big bad foil. You know, storybook card. And it came out great. And I was really happy with it. And then, but I was like, okay, whatever. And I started cracking packs. And then I cracked my third pack. And I got this little buddy right here. It's a Brazen Borrower with shiny storybook. Yeah, he's in a nice hard sleeve. He's sleeved up. And we were looking at it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty. This is cool. I know this is going to be a valuable card. I figured $40, right? So I kind of put it down, not in any sort of sleeve, and I keep cracking packs. And I decided I was only going to crack half of them.
Well, you showed it to me.
I did. And that's when you were like,
let me check the app here. Hold on one second.
And you were like, well, because that's just it. I started to put them away. I was like, I'm only going to open half of them. And then and you were like, what'd you get? I was like, well, I got the opportunistic dragon. I got this, that, or the other thing. I got a couple of the giant there. I got the red giant storybook version, which was cool. And I think I got the little fairy there, the Brazen Borrower or whatever. It's storybook and it was foil. And you were like, wait, what? And you literally were like, can I see it? And I pull it out. You're like, Will, let me check that, but I think that's a $100 card, or maybe $150. And you're like, it's a $187 card. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. And I really thought about trading it in right at Kerwin's for another box. I was going to go right back to the well, and I didn't. But you know,
well, with me, I was opening. I got two boxes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you got now.
I got two boxes. I got two collector boosters, and which was cool. So, like, when you bought a box, you didn't just get the buy a box promo, which was Kenrith the Returned King, which is a very good Brawl card, very good commander card.
Yeah, you also I will use.
Yeah, you also got a collector booster with each box you bought. You know, while supplies last, blah blah blah. So I'm opening it, and it was a little more interesting for me because the one that I opened. I don't know if like the glare is going to take it out. It's right here.
It kind of is, but it's okay.
How's that?
No, still glary.
Anyway,
it's okay. Just tell us what it is.
It's a Black Lance Paragon. It's the foil full art Black Lance Paragon.
Nice. Now,
when I first checked it that night on Friday night, there was no price for it.
Yeah, that happened to a lot of them. Opportunistic didn't have one.
There were a lot that didn't have a price right away. So I was like, okay, you know, whatever. It looks like a pretty cool card. And, you know, you're going through the night. I'm opening my boosters. We're playing the tournament. You know, a couple people opened foil Garrix, that were full of $300 cards. And you're like, I want that. I just want to touch it. Can I just touch it? So I get home and I'm sorting out my cards and I'm like, well, let me see if the prices have updated. And I scroll down to Blacklands Paragon. The sucker's $200.
Nice.
First of all, I'm like, how? Second of all, I'm like, why? And then third of all, I'm like, okay, it's pretty cool.
Is it still sitting at 200?
It is actually, yeah, it's still, it was at $199.99 as of Friday. And as of today, it's like 236 cents or something stupid like that. But
oh, nice.
it's holding steady.
Yeah, the Brazen went down.
I'm surprised about that, actually. But, you know, we're not MTG Finance or anything like that.
Well,
but
I think there's a lot of him. I do.
There might be.
I think there is a great deal of copies of him. I don't think he's as rare foil as we thought he would be.
And we'll definitely see that once the set releases for full and people start, like, especially the whales, start buying tons of collector packs. You'll see more of them enter the market. But people who like to bling out their decks and people who play like Commander and stuff like that, and if this card sees play, which I think it should, because people are comparing it to Vendilion Click, I don't see how it doesn't at least retain the value that it's at now, if not go up, just for sheer demand.
Well, I'm showing it being bought for 124. I show TCG players saying it should be about 181. I don't believe that. I have a feeling it's probably more around the 125. It's still a 120 some odd dollar card. I'm still more than happy.
You get a booster box worth of cards out of one piece of cardboard.
Yeah, and believe me, the thought is there to be like, okay, it's starting to trend down. Would you trade me a bucks for this?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I would probably trade its weight in collector boosters, try and see if you can hit the well again.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's sort of my thought with the Paragon.
It's only five, though. You got to, there's something, and that's just it. We'll talk about this in combat.
Yeah.
The fact is, I cracked this in a regular booster.
That is cool.
I did not crack this in the collector. So, I mean, and that's something, again, we're going to talk about in combat. But for me, I would rather roll the dice and have a, you know, 32 times 15 is, you know, a whole lot. I'd rather have the, you know, 15 and 32 chance to grab it again or something like it than to roll the dice with a collector booster, which is, you know, you have more of a chance to hit the foils. But again, we'll talk about that's combat.
Yeah.
But,
and the hilarious thing too is that I got a regular Blacklands Paragon in my booster box. It's a dollar.
Yeah.
What's the
So you know that's and here's the thing. It is the first week. Okay, yeah. And again, we are not MTG Finance by any stretch. However, you need to be prepared out there, people. The price, if you cracked one of these, and a lot of people did, a lot of people got something. If you bought a box, it seems like you got something. Mm-hmm. The price is going to go down. It's without a fail, without a doubt. Okay, because
unless it's something like absurdly ridiculous.
Well, there's even talk of, I read somewhere on Reddit, so take that for what it is, and maybe I shouldn't be sharing it. But there was talk on Reddit even of like, there's thoughts that one of the Japanese places, which this was a Japanese pack, and I know that because my rares were in front. One of the Japanese plants didn't understand how they were supposed to do the printing. And so a lot of rare mythic foils were printed and put into packs randomly at a far higher rate than they should have been. So that may see a lot. Now, again, I read this on Reddit, and it could very well be that somebody on Reddit's like, let's put that out there, see if we can make people sell us their stuff, and we're just going to hold on to it. But
grain of salt.
Don't even take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a whole spoonful of sugar and salt. Ooh. Because I 100% believe that. But I could also see it happening. Because, again, it's the first time they've used Japan, I think, for a major release that isn't like the modern Horizon type stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who knows? But, I mean, we did more than crack packs. I mean, again, we had a pre-release event for the ages. And when I say pre-release event for the ages, I mean you did. I did not. You know what? It's like I used all my good luck in my buy a box because, wow, did I have a rough pre-release. I don't know how to put it. It was really just, you know, dead on arrival. Yeah. It really was. I just, And it wasn't my fault because I took a look at the cards and I don't think there was much I could do. I just had a bad run of six packs.
You had good individual cards. Just
right.
You didn't have
no synergy. Yeah, no synergy at all. So I ended up, and I mean, we'll go right into this and then we'll do mine and then we'll do yours. But I mean, for my four rounds, luckily, first of all, let me say this again. And I mean, we are hashtag not sponsored by Kerwin's by any stretch of the imagination. They're just our game store. We mention them by name mostly because I like it. So, you know, and it's my podcast. So, but, you know, I will say this. It's obvious that they are making some really positive changes. Yeah, War of the Spark, when it was a five-round pre-release, we were like, oh, round five, we were like, oh, this is – I'm seeing vapor trails. Yeah. But these guys, being a Friday night, I was a little concerned about maybe being a five-round or two. And, you know, with the amount of people they had coming in, and Steve kind of made the decision. He's like, listen, I don't want to be here till 2 a.m. This isn't a midnight pre-release. So no, we're doing four rounds. So they did. They kept it to four rounds, which is great because I did bring the students with us. So, you know, I rolled in with, what's that?
I think they had a really good time.
They had a great time. They had never done that before because we, since you left, we really haven't been able to do draft or pre-release because I don't have my, you know, finance guy to be like, you know what, I think we can make this work. You know, it's mostly like I have to go out on a limb and ask them. And to tell you the truth, it's just a lot like work. So, but what it is that basically, so he did that. So I brought the guys, they had never done it before. So I think too, what part of my problem was, and I really didn't get a chance to go through my pre-release deck because I mean, it was happening to you too, but I mean, we'd start putting something together. Hey, Mr. Benson, Mr. Perez, look at this. Look at this. Go, is this a good card? Should I put? I'm like, guys. Yeah,
I think between the two of us, we each built like four decks.
Yeah.
I know there was one deck that one of the students had brought. He had a ridiculous. Oh my God. He had such a good pool. He had the Vantress Gargoyle on two. He had Rankle on four. He had Lochmere Serpent on six. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's a curve.
You should be winning. Yes,
he did.
He did all right. Well. I think. Yeah, it was Nick probably. I think so. He did all right. God, I was gonna see.
Terrifying.
Yeah, he really was. I ended up putting together a white red knight deck because my promo was a knight. It was the one that.
It was a 3/3 for 3.
Yeah, and he does the whole like knight comes in.
Well, when you showed me the card, I said, well, that works without knights because it looks for auras and equipment too.
Right.
But yeah, I do remember that card. I forget what it was called though.
Yeah, me too. And
I probably have a copy of it somewhere.
It was, you know, and I caught a few other knights that went with it, including the red and white knight that gave everybody plus one, like the Legion Lieutenant for knights. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was not horrible. It just was not reliable. And I think that's what, and I was ending up playing a bunch of guys who were playing a bunch of, like, I ended up playing, well, game one was, I ended up going up against a guy with a freaking, oh, it was a claim contender was what I got. Yes. When he enters the battlefield, if you control another knight, look at the top five cards of your library, you reveal a knight or equipment or legendary artifact creature from among them, a card from among them, put it into your hand, put the rest of the bottom of your library. And I had two of them. I was like, okay, this could be good. So the first guy I was playing with, and it was funny because it was the guy I made a joke about because he started asking a silly question to Steve. Steve's trying to give the rules, or not Steve, the other guy was trying to give the rules. Yeah. And this guy kept asking stupid questions. Finally, I'm like, dude, we're on a timer, man. What do you, come on. Yeah. You know, and I'm just busting his stones. He didn't look like he took it very well.
Yeah, he kind of gave you a look like you.
He did. He did. I'm like, shit. What are you going to do? So, I mean, but so then I ended up, then I leaned over to you and I said, watch, I'll end up playing him first. I ended up playing him first.
Instant karma.
Yeah. So, he was playing a green white adventure deck and I ran into I ran into every sort of deck actually this time. It was kind of cool. Worked great for me. His deck was working really good. Mine did not. It wasn't fast enough. And I game one and game two flooded like bad. Like I'm just drawing land after land after land. So he beat me 2-0 and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Hey, good game. Good times, you know? And again, part of this is too, while I might be a little salty, I've got the students there. So I can't be like really salty because I've told them, like, guys, listen, just plan to lose tonight. You know, a night of bad magic is still better than a good day at work. So, you know, just enjoy the time and hey, you're not paying. So then round two, I get Josh. I always play Josh. I like to play Josh because Josh makes me a better magic player because he's good, but he's also kind about it. He beat me 2-0 again. I flooded again. And then, I was like sitting there and I'm looking at my cards going, man, this does feel large for a 40 card deck. So I'm just sitting there and I start counting out my stuff and I'm like 45. I had 23 spells and 22 lands. Again, I'm blaming the students for this crap. Like y'all didn't let me get my time in to like figure out my deck. You just kind of sat there and. So I fixed it for game two. But by that point, you know, there wasn't much I could do. So when I finally got to play the deck the way it was designed, I really didn't like the pace. I was like, okay, this is not working. This is not going to work in this format. Josh was playing, I think he was playing kind of a foodie adventure deck too. I forget what the colors were. Mm-hmm. So it just wasn't working. And so I'm like, okay, what have I got? Because I mean, we finished quick. So I start looking through and I'm like, okay, I've got a food adventure deck in Golgari. All right, well, let's roll that up. Let's see what we do. I had a couple of the ginger houses. So I was like, you know what? I got some fun stuff I could do here. I had the goose. I had a whole bunch of other things. The spinning wheel, which give me some tokens and mana fix a little bit. So I'm like, okay. So this was a much better match. Game one went 25 minutes, though. He was also playing Golgari Food Adventure. So it's just
grind, grind, grind.
Grind, grind, grind. And I had him down. I had the card out there that says every time he attacks, we both put a card in our library or in our graveyard. It's a black card. So every time I attacked with it, it's in the air and he couldn't stop a flyer.
Oh, that the eye thingy.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm swinging with that. And so he's doing that. And then he also had the troll out, right? Which well, troll? I had
there's a couple of trolls.
The troll with the yeah,
the one that makes goats.
Yeah, so he was getting to draw cards, and I was like, "Oh God, I think I can mill him," because I had the knight that you could pay to bring it back out.
Right.
So every time you gained a life, and I was gaining a life with something else, so I'm basically keep bringing this card out and sacking it to make him mill, to make him draw a card. So he's getting card draw, and then he's also milling himself every time I hits him. He was playing three color and he only had one blue mana and I managed to deck the blue mana. I was like,
nice.
So yeah, but here's the thing. He had that one card that says pick as many creatures as you want, put them on the top of your library. When I had him down to three cards.
Nice.
So I'm like, well, sweet, because we're 27 minutes and you know, my win count is gone. Right. So that's just it. You said it best. You're like, you don't have bombs. You were like, you just have a whole bunch of low little guys.
Yeah, because the deck, like, you had a theme, but they were all tiny.
So everybody was like, tiny. I didn't have a bomb.
If you ran into something big, I mean, Clackbridge Troll was your worst nightmare.
Because I kept being able to tap it and make him draw a card and gain life. Yeah. But I was trying to mill him out. Like, I immediately, I think the one thing I did right was I pivoted. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go against this guy. He's got Clackbridge Troll. I got no way to remove it. I'm just gonna, yeah. So I did. I just sat there and kept trying to plink at him and being like, okay, put two cards in your graveyard every turn, plus you're drawing, or put a card in your graveyard and you draw two cards. Every turn you're doing three. I got a 12, you know, at this point it was like turn five. So I'm like, I think I got like a 10 turn clock here. You know, if I can survive 10 turns, keep him from swinging in with his big stuff, I might have a shot. If he wasn't able to refill his library, I would have won.
Right.
So then I'm like, okay, well, screw this. We are down to like 20 minutes. I went back to Knights to try to get the win. I'm like, I got to switch it up too. We just can't do this again. So I won game two handily. I got a perfect nut draw. Everything came out the way it should. And I'm just swinging at him with a flyer. I managed to enchant her with two things. Every time she swung in for five, he couldn't stop it. Life linked, enchanted. It was great. Game three, then we finished game two with, I don't know, 5 minutes to spare. And game three went to turns. Yeah. And then game turn four, I played a Rakdos aggro from one of the students. I kept my knight deck out, and I rolled him. So that was my night. I mean, I went one, two, and one. you know, and Steve took pity on me because I brought people. So I did get a pack.
Yeah.
But it was back. Still, again, it was a bad night of magic, but it still beat a good night of work.
Yeah.
And in fact, that was work. If you think about it, it was my late night. So
there you go.
What about you? What'd you play? How'd you do?
I opened up some good green rares. I couldn't play them. I had the 3/3 wolf that fights something when it comes into play, and you can sacrifice a food to give it a plus.
Wild wolf or whatever.
An indestructible wicked wolf or something.
Yeah, wicked wolf.
I opened that, and then the flash guy, the 2/2 for two that whenever a creature comes into play, you can pay X to put that many counters on him. I had him too, but nothing else in green. So I was like, I don't know. I mean, I want to kind of play white green. I didn't have enough.
And you got your thingy, right?
Well, I didn't have enough. I was looking at white, blue, and black because I didn't have enough green. And then I was like, this is kind of, I mean, pushing three colors is kind of hard. So because I opened up the Cauldron of Eternity and I was like, I have to play this card. It's so good. So I ended up going white, black. I didn't really think I had much of a theme, but it turns out I actually had a food engine in the deck. Because I had the Bognaughty, the 3/3 flyer for 5 that you could pay 3 and sack a food to give a creature -3/-3. And I had a few ways to create food. And I also had a witch's oven. So I could sacrifice my creatures to make food tokens. And I had the bartered cow. So when that died, it made a food token. I had the equipment that when it dealt combat damage to a creature, I get a food token. So I was like, oh, okay, so this looks pretty good. So I wasn't super confident with the deck going into the first round, and the result of the first round didn't help things. The guy that I played, I mean, nothing against him, but he sort of seemed like a humble bragger.
Oh, one of those cats?
Yeah, where he's like, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a cool card. He's like, yeah, it's okay. You know, it killed you in 3 turns, and there's nothing you could do about it, but, you know, it's not that great. It's like, it's a Lochmere Serpent.
I remember that guy you were playing. Yeah, I remember. He was like that. I was like, oh, this.
And it might have just been his personality. Nothing against him. You know, it's just the way that it worked out. We went to 3 games. He had a good deck. He had a giant killer. I didn't see the Lochmere Serpent until game 3. He intentionally was holding an island, which was good. That's a good mental play. He was holding an island until the 3rd game, just so I didn't know he had it. Not that I was able to sideboard anything against something like that. But he had the, what else did he have? He had the 4/4 first strike that whenever it attacked, your other creatures got +1/+1. He had a good pool. Like, he thought that card was terrible. And I'm like, it's a 4/4 first strike for 5. That's extremely good. So we went to 3 games. I ended up losing in 3 games. And I don't think he won too much after that, which didn't hurt my feelings any, just because I was a little bit salty after the first round, just because of the way that he was. But it was fine. No big deal. I ended up going 3-1. Because I discovered that I had the engine in the deck. So I think it was the 3rd round where I'm like, all right, well, I need to get my Bognaughty and see if I get a couple of foods here. Maybe I can kill a couple creatures. And then I realize I can make food every turn.
Yeah.
I can wipe your board.
You had a pretty good deck. I would have loved to have seen some of the synergy in that. I wish there was another sealed coming up, like, someplace close to me where I'd go and do it. I know there's drafts coming up. This is draft weekend usually. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, the guys are all like, can we go Friday? I'm like, I'm married. No, we can't. maybe in 3 weeks. So I think we'll go back in 3 weeks when they get paid. But I mean, it was a fun night, but it was just like, I kind of wish I could do it again. And I mean, I've done it a few times on Arena, and I'm doing really well on the seals on there. So I know I feel better that it wasn't me, you know, but still it was, you know, it was what it's a bad night of magic, but it was a better than a good day of work. And I had a blast. I did. So
that is just, I mean, the presentation of the cards, like I said, the flavor of the cards, you know,
you and that flavor, dude,
it's because this set's full of food. It's tasty. You got the Gingerbread Man, you got Hansel and Gretel, you got Sleeping Beauty, you got freaking Elsa in this set.
I don't like food. Really? I'm going to be honest. I think food is like a bad clue.
Well, I mean, they've built a lot around using food to do things. So it's definitely very well fleshed out. I could see where your complaint would probably be because it kind of drags the game on, or it can.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I like playing red, and we don't like life gain.
Well, I mean, and, and food literally saved my bacon in this tournament. Ah, food pun.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, I mean, as a red player, again, I don't like it. And I mean, I'm probably not the only one because, you know, over the weekend, I mean, to pivot off of pre-release and move into like other events that were going on around, I mean, there were some first week standard events that went on this weekend. And, you know, it looks like, according to the deck lists, aggro could be taking a back seat for a while. And defensive. I mean, we'll know this weekend. A Star City Games will bring out an aggro deck. Like an SCG event, week one standard tends to be aggro.
Not so this time.
I don't know, dude. I don't know about that. I'd almost make a bet on that.
Guess who's back?
Back again. Oh my god.
Esper is back. Tell your friends. Hey, hit one or got seven.
Listen, Esper is still good, and everybody loves control. I'm not going to go wrong there. And I don't think you're wrong in that, again, the red decks are basically, you have Cavalcade, really, right now. You have the red Cavalcade deck, which is not even close to being stable. You absolutely need to mulligan right, believe it or not. Red has always been kind of like, and forgive, and I'm a red player, so I get to say this. It's an idiot deck. It's kind of like you kind of give it to a noob and you go, here you go. Here, you play this red deck. You put your foot on the gas, keep
turn things sideways.
Yes. And Cavalcade requires some sense of mulligan. You need to mulligan right. If you don't have at least two or three one drops, two or three mana, you know, your Cavalcade of Calamity, and if you can, the Chandra Spitfire, you're in trouble. You're gonna be drawing cards, you don't have draw, and then you're gonna run out of gas. And then you're just kind of sitting there waiting for that enchantment to show up so that, you know, but by then your one drops are probably dead. So I mean, if you're gonna play the red deck, you have to mulligan correctly. I don't see a lot of other aggro out there. I mean, blue and red and black is still a deck.
Rakdos aggro looks
is still a thing.
One of the front runners so far. And I played a couple of rounds with it during the first round of the free event on Arena.
Which I did as well.
And a lot of the deck list, it's all creatures.
Yep.
And it's all cheap creatures, effective, like efficient, you know, Knight of the Ebon Legion, Rotting Regisaur,
yep.
Bone Crusher Giant, or whatever the hell that one's called.
Well, that knight, the other knight there.
The Murderous Rider.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
He's
probably the
Spawn of Mayhem.
I'm sorry, the Murderous Rider is probably the best card in Eldraine right now, in my opinion, for what you get with that card. A 3-drop that lets you remove something and then bring out a 2/3 lifelinker.
It's Hero's Downfall.
Yeah.
With the body.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think the most improved, I think, we're seeing right now is Spawn of Mayhem. Spawn of Mayhem is finally seeing its due. It's almost in any black deck at this point.
Yeah, we always knew it was really a good 4-drop. Yeah.
There's just nobody knew how to play it yet.
The deck didn't really exist for it yet.
No. I mean, it was getting dropped in Rakdos, but it was more like a sideboard card. You were playing if you were playing against aggro, churn 4, if you can be below 10 to be able to start swinging in for 5 flyers, you know, that was the only way you played it. Esper is
a thing.
Yeah. Esper Stacks is a real deck. Yes. Dance of the Mance is no joke.
Well, like the deck, the couple games that I've played with it, sort of, do you remember, I don't know if you were following competitive Magic back in the day, do you remember the old Smokestacks deck?
Nope.
there was a control deck back in like Urza's Saga, Urza's Legacy, that range of decks that,
right, I think I was out by then.
It was a control deck that worked around Smokestack, which was a 4-cost artifact that you had to sacrifice, you put a soot counter on it and you sacrificed a permanent for every soot counter on it. And the way the Stacks player basically made it work was that they didn't care how many counters were on the Smokestack, because they could always just sacrifice the Smokestack to itself to sacrifice one fewer permanent.
Right.
And they basically make it so that the other side just can't do anything because they're always sacrificing everything they have. And they're like, they'll return the Smokestack, or they'll play a Wrath, or they'll counter whatever you're casting and make sure that the Smokestack is protected. You've got nothing. And then they take over the game.
Mm-hmm.
This version of it, they run with Doom Foretold, which is a weaker version of Smokestack, because it's an enchantment for two, a white and a black. And it says at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player sacrifices a non-land, non-token permanent. If they can't, they lose two life and discard a card. You gain two life, draw a card, create a 2/2 white knight creature token with vigilance, and then sacrifice Doom Foretold.
Right.
So you basically try to wipe their board. You get a token, but that's not really what the deck does to win, is that once the board is cleared and you've sacrificed a bunch of your permanents, there's a couple of cheap artifacts that you've cast, or like Oath of Kaya enchantment to keep their board clear. There's Guild Globe and Golden Egg to draw you cards. There's Teferi to bounce certain things. There's even a, what's it called? The Talisman of Wishes.
Yep.
The artifact that gets you that demonic tutors for you. There's one of those in the deck. And so what it does is it waits until that point where Wish Call Talisman, that's the one. It waits until your opponent's board is cleared. You sacrifice the Doom Foretold. You cast Dance of the Manse for six or more. So it returns all, you know, six or more artifacts and non-aura enchantments to play, because it's X, white, and a blue.
Right.
If you paid six or more, each of those come into play as 4/4 creatures. So you basically do that and then just crush them with those things because they have nothing else that they can do.
And exactly.
And, you know, in the meantime, it's kind of like an old prison deck where it's the old style of control, which just says you just can't do anything. It's not even countering your spells. You can't cast anything that's going to stick around for more than 2 seconds.
Exactly. And it's a lot of removal. It's a pretty decent deck. I'm not going to disagree with you that, you know, Esper could be back. We kind of saw it coming. I think Simic Flash is not going to be as good as we thought it was going to be. I think Simic Ramp is going to take its place.
Yeah, Simic Ramp is good. Bant Ramp is good.
I think Bant Ramp's a little bit better because you get to bring in Teffy, but
yeah,
Teferi. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to look at something like Golgari Midrange.
Yeah, that one looked good.
That was a great title for that.
I like that.
That definitely, I think we're going to see that this weekend. Like you said, a lot of people don't like to play control or very interactive decks week one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you know, for those of you who don't know, Star City Games tends to put out a major open tournament, standard open tournament, usually week one of any new set, any new standard. It's where we kind of, and they make sure it's on Twitch. So, you know, if you don't watch Twitch, download it. It's definitely a good place to see the decks.
NCS,
of course. But one of the things that they, you know, they tend to do that, and what we tend to see at these events, week one, week two, is some sort of aggro.
Yeah.
In the standard before last, it was mono blue tempo, which was mono blue aggro tempo type thing. And then mono red was the one that last time. Before that, red and black, you know, well, red and black were before during last year's rotation, red and black was annoying.
Well, it was red with
yeah.
tiny, 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 tiny bit of black just for yeah. scrap heap scrounger.
So I definitely, you know. Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of ramp this weekend? Possibly. I think we're going to see a lot more Rakdos aggro and Golgari Midrange. Somebody may have cracked the code on mono red, and I'm not going to count Boros Feather out.
No, yeah.
I think Boros Feather, with what's been removed, has become a better deck.
I think what's different this time, and I think the reason that especially Esper has asserted itself so early, because it normally takes a couple of weeks for the control decks to get their feet under them. I think what they did this time around, they said, okay, you know what? We have an Abyss effect with Doom Foretold.
Right.
We have the most powerful planeswalker in the format in Teferi.
Mm-hmm. That's
arguable, but not really. I mean, it's Teferi.
Oko's pretty...
Oko's
good. He's up there.
Free Fairy takes over games.
He does. You're not wrong.
And then they're like, you know what? Let's just throw in as much mass removal as we can cram into the deck. Throw in some card draw, a little bit of pinpoint removal. You know, Murderous Rider is going to go in any deck with black. We'll throw that in there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little smidge of card draw, maybe a counterspell here or there. And just keep wiping the board until we can win the game. Because that, I think, was Esper's problem, is that they had, you know, they had Mortify, pinpoint. They had...
You had board wipes, but they were expensive.
Well, it still runs Kaya's Wrath, and now the deck that I'm the list that I saw also runs Planar Cleansing.
Right. I mean, board wipes were were a thing, they were just really, really hella expensive. You had Cleansing Nova, which was for $5. You have Kaya's Wrath, which is $5, I think.
That's $4. It's $4, yeah.
What the hell was it? Their Time Trap or whatever the hell it's called, which was basically grab a card and then wipe the board for $5.
Time Wipe.
Yeah. And we, oh my goodness, we have a whole bunch of people saying hello. In the chat, if you're listening to the podcast on your iPod, first of all, tune in on Mondays. But you know, John's saying he likes all the aggro. Then we got Alex, I think, was my tier one. Josh is one of the best MTG deck builders I've ever known.
Yeah, Josh,
I do not disagree with that.
Josh built some great decks.
Yeah, and yeah, Alex got full RO Sworn Knights, one foil, one non foil.
Wow. I'm just gonna.
And Ricky Race is saying that he got his kids into it. Oh, so it looks like we just caught up. Okay. Well, for those of you that were leaving comments, it finally just showed up. So, which sucks because a lot of people left. But to get back to what we're saying, I think it had the removal. It didn't have the cheap removal that this does. I'm sorry, but I'm gonna stand by my decision again. It's a monster. I'm buying 4 this week.
Murder's Rider is crazy, but Esper had the cheap pinpoint control. Because remember, it had Tyrant Scorn, and it had D-Spark, it had Cast Down.
Yeah.
You know, it's playing Legion's End now. It still has Thought Erasure.
Thought Erasure is annoying as
fuck. That's not rotating for another year. You know what? And like I said before, I play Esper, and I still hate that card.
Everybody hates that card.
I hate that card more than I hate Teferi.
You feel dirty playing that card. I don't want to.
I don't mind getting dirty.
Soul Ring on turn one in Commander. You're just like, I don't want to do it, but yet
I got it. Yeah. I hate Thought Erasure more than I hate Teferi, but I'm playing both. So yeah. Whatever.
So is this the deck you think you're going to build in paper for 3 weeks?
It's the one that I'm closest to, so probably.
Yeah, I still have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm
doing. I'm hoping that they flesh out the sideboard a little bit better. But overall, I mean, I only need like 6 cards, and they're not that expensive to be able to build this.
Well, I mean, there are other decks that are kind of peripheral. Like I said, it is so weird to say mono red is peripheral. But I would say mono red at this point is tier 2. It's not a tier 1.
Mono red is a metagame call. If you know your metagame's not prepped for it, I would say that would be when you roll for it. I mean, you could definitely, it's still mono red, so it still has that oops, I win kind of quality to it. It can still come out of nowhere and crush your face. I think the consistency is not there yet, but I think that's only a matter of time. I think it's the same situation that control decks are typically in now, is that, all right, our guys are smaller. They're not going to do as much damage when people are playing turn 2 rotting Rotosaurs, you know?
Well, I think it's the losses weren't really replaced in this set. We talked
not
about
as much. No. Yeah.
It was, you know, we lost Lightning Strike of all things. You know, you lose the wizard mechanic, and the wizard mechanic was what really made that deck churn when you thought about it.
The
Gitu Lava Runners, the Wizard's Lightning, that really made that deck churn faster. Now it's kind of almost a standard it's almost a run-of-the-mill red deck that, you know, I think because of what we had in Hazoret red and what we had in Wizard's Mechanic red is what I'm going to call it. I think we all got kind of used to that in standard, and at the end of the day, this feels more like a regular red deck. You know, it's like, yeah, it'll hang. It's going to win you some games. Is it going to win you the championship? You got to have the right, and you got to know how to sideboard.
Yeah. I would say that red, like you red players, I'll say this, you red players, you've been spoiled by driving around in a Bugatti for so long. Now you still have to go into a Lamborghini. I'm sorry. It's 100 miles an hour slower, but it's still pretty fast.
Yeah, it's still fast. And I think the most powerful thing that they got in this new standard was Fervent Champion. I think that card's ridiculous.
Well,
I
think Bone Crusher Giant's better.
I love Bone Crusher Giant because he's Lightning Strike on a stick and when he has a body, and I get that. But Fervent Champion, especially if you're playing the Cavalcade deck, it is a 1/1 with First Strike and Haste. I mean, this thing is freaking ridiculous, and it gives you equip ability. So if you're playing the Embercleave, then stuff just got real.
Yeah.
But again, it's not there yet. I think this weekend we're going to see a lot of Rakdos aggro. I think we're going to see Golgari midrange, maybe some Jund. I think we'll see Simic Flash. I think Esper will be in top five, guaranteed. Do I think it wins? I don't know, because I don't think enough people know how to pilot it yet.
No, I mean, it'll be if it's the players who have played Control traditionally, they'll probably pivot right to it and they'll probably be fine.
Maybe.
It's just there's only like the biggest difference in decision is, you know, do I play my Abyss enchantment now or do I just wipe the board?
Right. So I it's going to be an interesting weekend to see coming up, and it's going to be nice to see where Magic shakes out, where the meta shakes out. Again, I have no idea what I'm playing in 3 weeks. I don't. And if I was to go now and say, what do I have the most of put together? It's my Feather deck. Mm-hmm. And sure, it's going to hang, but it's still missing a piece or two. I think they're going to find that piece. I think some of what it got in this set, you know, is pretty.
Well, did you see what kind of made a kind of a cameo appearance that might come back if they can fit the tuning? Is it Phoenix?
Oh yeah. Well, is it Phoenix? There's a lot of Iron Craig Pyromancer is giving you some stuff. Merchant of the Veil is a freaking ridiculous card in that set. So is the other rogue there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong. I think it's going to need some time to see what they do. It's definitely a good time to be in standard, though. But we should pivot and go right into combat here because we're looking at about 40 minutes. So let's go ahead and get into
combat phase.
Okay, for combat tonight, we want to talk about the collector's boosters. Now, we did talk about this a few weeks ago. For those of you who are saying we're running out of ideas, you're not wrong. No, but we definitely got more information here after pre-release.
First point in combat. How many weeks did we spend on Nexus of Fate and Wilderness Reclamation?
Well, that we were finding our way to, and those were easy topics, man. Everybody was talking about that. We could not talk about it. Hmm. It would be like if we didn't talk about the MPL when they made the announcement.
So I can finally bury the horse. It's been rotting in the backyard for like
a year. You could totally bury that horse. In fact, I don't think it's rotting that bad because I mean I've tasted your wife's cooking, and so I think horse is part of it. Anyway, moving on. I'm just kidding. Wow. Please don't kill me. Pam, please don't kill me. I'm just trying to make a show funny, man. I'm sorry. Please don't kill me.
You anyway. Might want to taps again, because I think you're dead, but
goodbye. All right, moving on. So we're going to talk about the collector's boosters again because we have more information. We both opened a collector's booster over the weekend. Aramis opened too, you rat bastard. So we've got kind of a little bit more information. Aramis, why don't you go first? I think I've gone first the last few combats, so I think I can let you have this one.
All right, so what's our argument about again?
Are they worth it?
Are they worth it? Right now, yes.
Interesting.
Right now, yes. I'm going to say that with an asterisk. Because we're going to have to see how many they actually make available to people, how limited the print run's going to be. But if you're able to, like, if you buy one or two, there's a better than
good
zero
value.
There's a good chance that you'll get much more than what you paid for it.
Okay.
Because like even the non-foil showcase cards that I opened at the moment were like, you know, $50, $60, $70 cards.
Right.
And myself personally, since I've played, I've never opened a card worth that much in a booster pack. And
true.
You know, I've owned cards that are now worth that much or more. And, you know, I kick myself for getting rid of them every day that I have the chance to think about it. So I try not to think about it because it makes me cry. But if you're someone who is a collector, this has a lot for you because it has, you know, 9 common and uncommon foils in every pack. It has the foil rare mythic that's either an extended art or a showcase or a full art planeswalker. It's got another card that's like that that's not foil. You get a card from an ancillary product, which is one of the complaints I have about it, because people have been getting the gain life coming to play tapped lands from the Planeswalker decks, which is really bad. Like, I even got a really bad card out of it. I got freaking what my ancillary card was, Rowan's Battle Guard. So it's a 3/3 for 3 and a red with first strike. Mm-hmm. As long as you control a Rowan Planeswalker, it gets +3/+0. There's only one.
So from the Planeswalker deck, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of blows. So I could have gotten, like, the other pack I opened, I had a Tome of Legends from the Brawl deck. That's a good rare for Commander / Brawl. So I could have gotten something cool there. So I kind of swung and missed on that one, but I got a $200 rare as my foil. Right. So I think if the print run is large enough, the value obviously is going to go down because there'll be more in the market. Right now, if it's what I believe it will be, and I think it'll be fairly limited, I don't think game stores are going to get too many boxes of this stuff. I think the value will stay fairly high, and I think it'll still be worth it as long as you're, you know, responsible about it. I'm not going to say go out and buy 10 packs because that's
right.
You might as well buy
$250. Yeah. You might as well buy two boxes. Yeah.
Buy two boxes if you're going to spend that much. But if you're going to buy like one and that's the only thing you're going to buy for like the week or the next 2 weeks, it's worth it because you get a good card. You don't want to keep it. You can sell that sucker on eBay and I'm sure you get a pretty good amount of money for it.
I don't know. For me, it's a little different. And I think one of the reasons that this podcast works is that we come from two different mindsets. I tend to be more of a player. Mm-hmm. I tend to get the cards I need to play decks and because I enjoy the game. You're a collector. You know, you are. You want to get a piece of every card. See, like, I had that. It wasn't actually Kaladesh where I opened them. I actually, my first pre-release that I did was Aether Revolt. Mm-hmm. And so I was there doing that, and my first booster pack I opened in my pre-release pack had an Arcbound Ravager.
Which was, when you showed that to me, I was like, oh my God, I used to have four of these. It's an awesome card. I can't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. It's so beautiful.
It was, and it was foiled, and I sold it because I needed money at the time. And then my winning pack that night, because the store I was at, Guardian Games, used to be out here, they used to give out pity packs to almost everybody. Mm-hmm. I opened a Paradox Engine.
Nice.
So again, another, and I didn't realize what they were because I wasn't playing at that point. I just knew they were valuable. Like, everybody and their mother went nuts. And I'm like, wow, 100. And so it was a really cool moment. I'm like, look at what I opened. This is the best night ever. I'm having a blast. And then, you know, fast forward to Friday night, you know, I opened my collector booster and there's some decent things in there. And I'm like, maybe I'll get something. I really had low expectations going in. Because again, Wizards made sure that you didn't understand what the hell you were opening.
I had an idea.
Huh?
I had an idea.
I did too, but it was a little weird.
It was a little murky, yeah.
Then I started opening my boxes thinking like, yeah, it was collector, okay, whatever. And I opened the Brazen Borrower, and I'm like, and when you told me how much it was worth, I'm like, and it was that same feeling I got that first night. I think I would rather open those cards in a collector booster box, or hell, a pack, just one pack. I bought a pack. Hey, look what I opened. I bought a pack. I would rather open those,
you know what,
in there than I would a collector booster. I think the joy juice you get in your head from opening that in a booster box is amazing. And it felt so good. It felt like I'd won the lottery. It was, you know, I'm like, it was great. And I wouldn't take that away.
You know what?
What?
I agree with you. if the collector boosters didn't exist, I would much rather they do it like they did with the Kaladesh Inventions and the Masterpieces, like that, where you have the chance of opening one of these cards at random, you know.
Well, it sounds like they are, though. That's exactly what happened.
They still are, yeah. But I think with the one thing that they're doing is they're making it more available for people who want to collect them. Yeah. But if those didn't exist, I would much rather they only do it the way like you were describing it. Because I remember back when I was opening booster packs of Darksteel and I opened a foil Arcbound Ravager and I just about lost my damn mind.
Yeah. It's an amazing feeling. And I think it makes you a fan of this game.
Mm-hmm. These packs do bring that back a little bit.
Yeah. Like when I was playing Aether Revolt, I had already played Kaladesh. Aether Revolt came after, I think. Playing Aether Revolt, okay, it was my first pre-release. I had already been to Kaladesh. I came out release weekend. I wasn't pre-release. Mm-hmm. So I came out that weekend, and and was playing, you know, Ace of Revolt, but it was my first time back to open these big chase cards. Was like, oh my gosh, this is what it felt like before I got married, before I sold my really good set of cards. This was, you know, it brought that back. It made me a fan of this to the point where I'm doing a podcast 3 years later. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm in. I think we need that. I think Wizards is getting too, I don't want to say money hungry, because I mean, well, I mean, it is.
You're not,
it is,
you're not necessarily wrong.
But I think they're, if they were smart, like, again, you do something like that, and I'm not saying fill every booster box with a chase, because everybody will buy them. You'll never have booster box.
Maybe increase it slightly from what it was in Kaladesh, where it was like one per case. You know, make it like maybe one a box.
Well, it definitely seems like, I mean, Alex said it best. You know, Alex Kuhn, who was in the chat here. I must put him up on the screen. You know, he's like, I bought a box and got two full art Sworn Knights, one foil, one non. Look, I think they're doing that.
They are.
At least I hope so. Now, if it's if what we said earlier with the Reddit is true, don't fix the problem.
Yeah.
Let the problem be. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, well, this is like too much. Forgive me if there are children. This is like too much sex on a work day. Like, I don't see the problem here.
Well, okay? And the other thing, too, is that with the collector booster, I mean, I do kind of hate that they have to say this sometimes, but they're like, you know, this is not for everybody. You shouldn't be going out necessarily to buy $25 booster packs if you're just trying to get cards for a set.
You know, and what yet I mean? They changed the name of the booster packs to draft packs. No, well, they wanted everybody to go buy these. The only name that's called booster is the collectors.
No, they're called collector boosters, and then the other ones are draft boosters.
So they call them draft packs. I thought, yeah. I know boosters on the label. But I mean, I only see them called draft packs.
15 card booster pack.
I know it's still on the label. I don't have to read back to me like I'm an invalid. No, but thank you, A Few Good Men. But oh, I should have that as a bump. You can't handle the truth. I think we're kind of semi in agreement here. I don't think the collect, you know what? If I have an extra $25, I think I would rather save 75 more and buy a box and roll the dice again, than I would buying a collector booster. Like we talked about with, you know, the Brazen, you know, trying to take that. I think that was before we started the show. If I tried to sell the Brazen, you know, borrower, you were like, oh, you should get it for its weight in collector boosters. I think I'd rather take my shot with a 1 in 32. You know, I just would. I not only that, I'm going to enjoy it a lot more, I think.
But I do like the fact that you can still get a lot of that excitement in the regular booster packs.
Yeah.
Like there's certain cards you can only get in the collector boosters, but it doesn't prevent you from getting those cards otherwise.
No, because they're in Brawl decks and they're in Planeswalker decks. And
well, no, and these are still regular cards in the set. Like, you know, the foil full art, Blacklands Paragon.
Yeah.
You can still get a Blacklands Paragon in your deck. They both work exactly the same. The only difference is, do you want one that's super shiny and full art, or do you want the regular one with the regular frame?
And I don't care about that as much. I mean, I care about it from a money perspective. I know you do. You like shiny. You've always been a shiny guy.
I'm a magpie. What do you want?
So I think for this combat, I mean, it's a kind of a snarf. It's a draw. I think we, you know, we're both attacked. I attacked with a 2/3 and you blocked with a 2/3 and it just happened.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's neither one of us is necessarily wrong, but neither one of us is necessarily right.
Either. But I'm definitely more right than you. Okay, moving on. Main phase 2. I have the power of the main phase. All right. Main phase 2.
Episode 52 is drawing ever closer.
Yes. Episode 52. Again, I have the power of the edit, sir. So, that might become our lost episode.
Lost episode.
We're going to main 2 tonight. And I mean, we're going to speed this up a little bit because we're getting towards the end of the show. But we do want to talk about the Win Every Card event that's coming in Arena. This past weekend, starting, I think it was Saturday, maybe Friday.
The past weekend started Thursday.
They opened Arena opened up with the you can use any card in the format or any card in Arena to build a standard deck, any standard legal card.
They let you borrow them for a weekend.
Right. And so you can build any standard deck you want. You had a full play set available to you. So people did, and it was meant to kind of, I think, be a test for next weekend's event. which is what I used it for. You know, so basically I built a Rakdos, I built a blue or black red, pretty nice deck, kind of built around the Rakdos aggro deck I saw inside the standard metagame, but I kind of tried to best of one it as best I could, because that's the thing. These 12 are best of one. So don't just go to MTG Goldfish looking at the top metagame decks, because most of those might be built for best of three. You know, and they really don't on MTG Goldfish as much update the arena standard version. Like right now, it's still saying Esper's Control and Mono Blue Temple with a Siren Storm Tamer. So
yeah, nope. Yeah, it's a little outdated.
Yeah, a little outdated. So I wouldn't go there. So I played with that for a little bit. I was doing okay. I think I played it till I got to about 7 wins, and I think I had 3 losses, maybe 4.
Nothing.
You know, it is. It is what it is. Well, game one, I kept the wrong hand. I had no idea how to pilot that deck. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I went back to my Gates deck and I threw in a couple of Field of the Deads. I threw in a couple of other stuff from this set, just to kind of flesh it out a little bit. And I rolled 6-0 on that. Like I ended up playing a lot of aggro. And I ended up getting my angels right when I needed them, turn 7, you know, and like, boom, here's 14 life. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. What was that now? So, I mean, I was seeing a lot of good stuff there. I've thought about trying to brew a little bit. I thought of this yesterday, just after my 12th, I kind of thought about brewing some sort of red deck with Tybalt in it to like shut down life gain, which shuts down food. But it's easily removed too. But
yeah,
so I'm kind of excited. I'm not sure what I'm going to play next weekend. Part of me also wants to see what happens this weekend in SCG. But what about you? Did you play your 12?
I just finished my 12 actually, right before we came on the air. I played the first few games with the Rakdos aggro deck. I didn't do too. I think I went like 2-1 or 3-1 with it. I saw the potential, but you know, it's an aggro deck, so I kind of got bored of it quickly. And then I moved on to a Bant ramp deck that I saw.
Okay.
And it was before the tournament had come out through the weekend, and it had 4 Okos, 4 Teferis, 4 Nissas.
Right.
And it ramped into, you know, like Hydroid Krasis and stuff like that. And that was pretty good. I won a lot of games with that. I think I lost one or two. One of them was like literally, I for whatever reason, didn't draw any land, even though it was a ramp deck. Go figure. And then this evening, before we went on the air, I had 3 games left. So I was like, well, let me try this Esper Stacks deck. And I lost one and won the last 2.
But did you feel more comfortable playing that deck?
I did feel more comfortable playing that deck because it looks like it's one of those decks that where it's like, all right, I have to take 10 damage here. That's fine. I'm taking control next turn. Go ahead and hit me. I don't care. So it's the control deck where it's like it's comfortable using its life total as a resource. You can get yourself down to like 6 or 7 life and then slowly creep back into the game.
Which is how you like it.
Yeah. So because you got Othakaya to kill stuff and gain life. You've got Teferi to bounce it. You've got Murderous Rider. That does cost you 2 life, so you have to keep an eye on your life total. But the 2/3 lifelinking creature that comes attached to it is great. You've got the Doom Foretold. You've got, you know, Thought Erasure, all that stuff. And then you have golden eggs in there, random food tokens. So if you need some life, boop, just pop one, have yourself an omelet, gain some life.
Yeah.
So I think this weekend it starts Saturday evening.
Okay.
At about 5:00 Eastern.
And it's only 3 days, right? It goes only till Tuesday. Yeah.
Only 5th through the 7th. So it only lasts until Monday night or Monday morning, really. At 5 a.m. and Monday morning is when it ends. So really, if you want to get it done, you got to do it Saturday night or Sunday during the day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Wizards. Really,
I'm
sure your servers are not going to be overwhelmed at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I mean, I have seen. Little tip here, folks, for Arena: turn off the pets. Trust me, I am running a monster gaming rig. I have a really good rig, and I was having trouble staying connected until I turned my Fox off.
Well, they actually did mention this past weekend they were having some big connection issues. There was something going on with the game this weekend that was unrelated to the pets.
But I took the pets off, and I never lost connection again. So just so you know, like, I mean, call it for what it is. But I would say, especially that 12, I'm not turning it back on until after next week's event, because I certainly do not want to DC during that event.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. With that mindset, give yourself every opportunity to make sure nothing goes wrong.
In fact, I'm turning off my. I'm actually going to turn off my antivirus. Look, I'm going to sit down in here in the studio, not even on my laptop. I'm going to sit in my studio, which is my gaming rig, and I'm going to get a nice cup of beer, and I'm going to sit down and play 12 games and turn off my antivirus and everything else, and be like, I'm just playing, and so, hopefully, I play 12 games and not three.
Well, realistic expectations. What would you be happy with as a record? 5-2.
I think 5-2 would be, I'd be all right.
Okay.
I think most people are going to go 4, maybe 3. I'll probably be in the 3-ish, 4-ish range. It really depends on the deck I play. But I think 3, 4, 5, I could see you, I could see you going to 8.
I was looking at 8. I'd love to get to 8. Given the way that sometimes just, you know, things just don't work out, I could totally see myself 0-2 drop.
The thing about it is, and I mean, we didn't talk about this with Esper and Bant, but the mana base could be a problem.
Yeah, the game that I lost, I needed the third. Like, I couldn't play. What was it? I couldn't play Kaya's Wrath because I had used my Wishclaw Talisman to search,
right?
And I was playing a deck that had Questing Beasts, and I was at one life. And I needed a board wipe that made sure that he didn't get a haste creature. So I needed to get Planar Cleansing, but I did not. I had enough mana to search and cast Planar Cleansing, except I didn't have 3 white.
Tough. That's what I would worry about with 3 colors.
That's the thing. It's 3 colors. You only have access to 1 temple. So I'm going to have to pray to the mana gods real hard this weekend and hope that they just, you know, leave me alone for 7 wins. 8, 9 would be awesome, because I'd love to get a free sealed event. But we'll see.
So with that, I mean, here's the thing. We do have an email from Justin, but it's I don't want to short shrift him either. He's asking for advice on his deck list. We really are. We're running out of time. It was a big week for us here with between the pre-release combat and all that. So, Justin, we're going to read your email and go through your deck list next week. So if you have anything else you want to add to that, feel free. Email us. You can, you know, also do that. But I think right now, let's go ahead and get into all right. So while Aramis and I are sitting here, we're packing up our cards, we're getting them back in boxes, grabbing our play mats. We want to remind you guys how you can find us out there on the internets and the interwebs and all various other ways. Both Aramis and I, we stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. So just look up Planestalker podcast there. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I am planning on streaming this Wednesday night. We'll see how things go. And that's generally, I think, what I'm going to be trying to do for the next several weeks. If I'm going to stream, it'll be on Wednesday evenings. Maybe it'll be one of those opportunities where I'm on and Benson's on at the same time. We're playing each other and you're seeing us play. If not, it's probably just be me. But yeah, RMECWRX on Twitch. Anytime I stream, it automatically gets streamed over to the Planestalker podcast channel as well. So you can catch both of our channels there. If Twitter's more your speed, you can find our show at Planestalker Pod on Twitter. We try to tweet, you know, occasionally just to let you guys know what's going on. Like, we tweeted about the pre-release last week, and we'll tweet if anything else relevant comes up.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. I'm not on it very much. I do tweet a little bit. But of course, you can always follow us on Facebook as well. If you're watching the show live right now, you found us. But if you haven't found us yet, if you're listening to this as a podcast, feel free to look us up on Facebook at Planestalker Podcast and like and follow the page. We do record Monday nights live. We actually record this show video from usually around 7:30 on Mondays, maybe 8 o'clock if I have to pick up the wife. But definitely check us out on Facebook.
And then finally, like Justin did, if you have a question for us that you need an answer to or advice on a deck, you can send us an email and ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where we can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. You can also use that email to, you know, just let us know how we're doing. If you have a suggestion for the show or something you want to talk about, you know, we might be able to read that on the show and talk about that.
Little tip, folks. We read all the emails. We don't have enough fans, man. You send us an email that says, hey, you guys effing suck. I'm going to read it. I'm going to make fun of you. I will absolutely make fun of you, but I'm going to read it.
So good, bad, or indifferent, send us emails. Let us know how we're doing. And honestly, even if it is terrible review, you think we suck and we need to die in a grease fire, it's criticism. It's all constructive. We block you, but then whatever. Anyway,
moving on.
Our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. Send us emails.
Yes, please. And if you want, leave us an iTunes review, a Google Store review, or any other type of review, wherever you're listening to the podcast proper. It does help the show. Even a Facebook review is fine. You can do that wherever you grab the podcast. And if you do that, send it to us, and I'll even read those on the show, good, bad, or indifferent. I did say doo-doo. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson. We're going to get on out of here tonight. We'll be back next Monday talking about all sorts of craziness. We want to thank you guys for listening, and we want to remind you that to always keep some of your mana on tap, because you never know when you may need it. Take care and have a good one.